came loaded for bear, you brought your Antichrist machine. Oh, all right.
Well, was the only way I was going to remember anything. I was going to write it, take the time to write
in
it.
In studying the great commandment, or it says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy might, and thy strength, or thy mind and thy strength. But it says, you shall love your neighbors yourself. And the discussion we've been having is whether or not love requires a reciprocal action. And so, I've asked Mr. Buckner and Miss Sue to, they think it does, so I want to see your answers.
Well, I'll let the ladies go first.
In other words, I did the research. Okay. In Luke 7:37, 7:39. Okay. So let's start with 7:37, where and she stood there's other references, but and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears, and then wiped them with the hairs of her head, kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. Now, he didn't ask for this to be done. He had already shown love. This was an act of love on her part.
But he didn't require it.
But he did not require it. He received it, though, within the spirit that it was given.
My man, I agree.
That it was an act of love. This is what makes love a two-way street. When it is offered freely and given, this is me, when it is offered freely and given to the person who does not expect it.
I totally agree. And that's the whole thing that God expects of his body. He expects us to return the love he gave to us. But from our standpoint, love never requires a reciprocal action. Now it's Gary's turn.
Yeah, I am not in... I don't dispute that at all, and that's not really where I'm coming from. I know God's love is given without measure and unfettered and without restriction.
No, but what about our love?
The point would be if there was never a reciprocal response, then the world turns and nothing happens. There's no...
I didn't say there shouldn't be a reciprocal response. Doesn't require a reciprocal response.
No, he doesn't, and yet...
No, not he, you.
Oh. Well, I mean, first we'll talk about him. I mean, he's got an agenda.
Well, his reciprocal response is eventually the bride of Christ, his wife.
Right, and that can only come from humanoids, whatever, responding to his love and returning it.
No, I agree.
And so without that, and that's what I call a two-way street, without that, you have nothing.
No, I agree totally.
Yeah.
And that's the sign I agree with everything Sue said.
Yeah.
But the issue was, does the love of your neighbor ever require a reciprocal response? And in my understanding, both you and Sue said it was a two-way street.
In context, I think we are agreeing.
Okay, well, let's look at the ones that just totally destroy any two-way street.
All right.
Let's go to, we'll first go to Luke 6.
Well, it's important if it's unconditional and spontaneous versus being premeditated with expectation.
Premeditated isn't love.
See, the whole thing is that we are flawed, you know. I get into huge, not merely debates, but huge fights over this with people. That if they want God's perfect love, go get a pet.
Yeah, and, no, there's no.
No, no, hear me out, because we are flawed and we can't be perfect. So our love is not going to be perfect. And we just have to do the best of our abilities that God has given us. And if it means jettisoning some baggages and stuff like that, then by all means, do so. But we're not going to be perfect at all times. And
well, that's what repentance is for. If there isn't love, isn't a two. If love requires it in any time a two way street, then your repentance is required. Now, instead of Luke, let's go to Matthew's version of it, because it talks about this exactly what Sue was saying. Matthew 5, starting verse 38. We'll go back to Luke. You have heard that it had been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that you resist not evil. Now that's a huge thing we've talked about many times, because whatever you resist, you empower. That you resist not evil. And fundamentally that means the one who offends you. You resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him too. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not away. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun, his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? But be therefore perfect, as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now, there's one people that the Jews at this time hated more than the Samaritans. It was the publicans, because they were their own people. They were traitors in their minds. They oppressed their own people for the sake of gain, because they really made their money from not just receiving the required tax, but they added their own taxes. In other words, constantly committed fraud. And they were hated, despised by their people. And listen to this. If you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And the same is true with forgiveness. Forgiveness cannot require a transaction. If it requires a transaction, then you can meet with them 1,000 times. Nothing will ever happen, because it's your emptiness that alters that situation. In fact, it alters the universe. And the call for perfection, it says, be holy as your heavenly Father is holy, and be you perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. When you are not, it requires your repentance, so that you can turn your back on yourself again, because you have resurrected the evil one by your own thoughts the evidence that you haven't loved with all your mind. Because there's a place in your mind for something that you despise, or you hate, or you don't like. Then it's so you're, all your mind isn't on him, it's on something else. Now this is the most important lesson that you can ever learn. If you love them that love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans do the same? Now we're going to talk about this one of these days, if I ever make it to Sunday, about why it says then, if you have aught against your brother, go meet with him. It's talking about those out of the same womb, the same Seder, the same community. Because the test of his perfection is always, it's never philosophical about somebody over there. It's the test in the community of like-minded believers. But in terms of forgiving others, it's without anything. It's forgiveness from the heart. In fact, protecting in your heart the right for that offense to have happened. This is what a believer is. So you can see why I responded the way I did. Even I may, you may not have even meant it the way you, it came out.
Yeah, no, it's
now let's go look and see what Luke says about it.
And in that going, does it say brother? I think it does say brother, doesn't it?
Right, and the word means out of the same womb.
Yeah, but if thy brother offended.
Right.
That's
but it's not that brother that has some philosophical thing and lives 500 miles away. That's not the test. It's that test requires your absolute forgiveness. The meeting is for the sake of the other one that's in the community. But if you haven't forgiven him before you go to the meeting becomes useless, as you've seen 1,000 times. He moves here and becomes part of the community. How about Gary Buckner and his cell phone?
Yeah. How about
that? Anyhow, does everybody see what we're talking about? About what the, why this is so critical? That you love without transaction, without expecting anything in return. All right, let's go to...
I think what you said is it's very clarifying and it's very perfect. There's no contest here.
All right. Well, let's go to Luke now. Let's see what Luke says about it. Luke 6. I messed up because I sounded bad. This is just Luke's version of the same thing. Let's look at some of the woes of the blessedness. Verse 20. This is a very shortened version of the Sermon on the Mount. And we've already studied this, but let's just look at it again. Verse 20. And he lifted up his eyes and his disciples and said, Blessed.
Luke 7?
6.
Luke 6.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Luke 6, verse 20. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you that hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men shall hate you, and when shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice you in that day, and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich, for you've received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for you shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. And woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee. And of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank of you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful, and to the evil. Be you therefore merciful, as your Father is also merciful. There is nothing that I could confront, that I can conceive of, for which I wouldn't forgive, for which I wouldn't show mercy in return, because of the mercy I have received. There's nothing. And I didn't think it would be tested the way it has been. People I love despise me, but I still love them. We have to show the mercy that we have received all times. We have to show the love that we have received. Otherwise, we just make a joke of the mystery. But it's so easy to fall back into bad habits.
Yeah. But this is like the whole argument in one sentence here. Is that without that mercy, we wouldn't show mercy. Without that kindness, we wouldn't even know what it is. There's something so...
Well, it's the most powerful force in the universe.
Yeah.
But you can dam it up. Remember when we studied Yeshua, Jesus' first name?
I wasn't here when that was studied. I missed that.
All right.
But I know I missed it because everybody was saying it was so powerful. I remember hearing Pete all the time, yesh, and everything.
Okay, well, the word yesh, part of Jesus.
Yeah.
It's the best way to describe it. Is if there were on Hoover Dam, which is the biggest dam that I've ever seen. Lake Mead in California and Nevada.
Yeah.
Nevada and Arizona. Well, I guess it's California. I don't remember. Anyway, monster dam. If there was a crack in the dam, that without fail, that crack would increase slowly until finally it went and the explosiveness of a dam just busting in that final moment, not the leak, the busting is the yesh. And That's the first, that's Jesus, the half of first Jesus' first name. Yeshua. HaMashiach. The only anointed one. The Messiah. But you have to allow that yesh to take place in you. And that means, no matter what it costs you, you must take the governors off. No more cause and effect. Faith alone. No more little goals. Faith alone. And that's yesh. And then Yeshua becomes flesh in you. He is made flesh. And that's, it's so powerful, it's not even possible to talk about it. Dam has to break. The governors have to go. No matter what it costs you, no matter what people say about you. Oh, you shouldn't do this. Or you shouldn't say that. Amen?
Amen.
Any other response to any of this? It's just Santa Rosanna Dana. Well, everybody have a happy Thanksgiving, a blessed Thanksgiving, a peaceful Thanksgiving, a Thanksgiving with love unfeigned. And take a big guy. We won't meet tomorrow unless I forget it's Thanksgiving.
You want to meet on Friday?
Huh?
Usually we don't.
Okay, we won't meet on Friday either. We're not even meeting tonight on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Take a big guy.